Who can I talk to?
Can anyone relate to what I'm going through?
Who else understands what it's like to have cancer?
Sometimes you don't want to talk about cancer with people you know. You just want to talk with someone who knows how you feel. Open 24/7, Macmillan Cancer Support's online community is a safe space to connect with people who understand what it's like to have cancer. It's free to use and anonymous. From day one, whatever you need to get off your chest, community members are available day and night to offer support on the online forum. Talk openly and honestly with people who've been there too. You're not in this alone. We're here to help. To join, search Macmillan Online Community.
This episode is brought to you by Disney Plus.
Set in the picturesque Cotswolds, Rivals dives headfirst into the ruthless world of British television in 1986.
Where shoulder pads are big and ambitions are even bigger.
Based on the best-selling novel by Dame Jilly Cooper, the new series follows ex-Olympian and incorrigible rake Rupert Campbell Black in his long-standing feud with the controller of Corinium Television, Tony Battingham.
Starring David Tennant and Alex Hassel, egos rage, fame calls, power commands, opponents clash, and rivalries run rampant.
Everyone wants to get on top. Rivals, an original series streaming October 18, exclusively on Disney+. Copyright 2024 Disney and its related entities. 18 plus subscription required.
I feel like I'm missing out because everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're selling flaky salt or fine art prints, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can successfully grow your business. Covering all your sales channels, from a shop front ready point of sale system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And thanks to award-winning help and with an extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/Wondery, all lowercase. Go to shopify.co.uk/Wondery to take your business to the next level today. shopify.co.uk/Wondery.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens. This is a podcast about all the crap that we love to talk about on Ye Olde Broads. My name is Rondel Carum, and I'm with my friend, Benoonie Bondalooney, Ben Mandelker. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. How's it going over there?
Oh, it's going so well. Really just having a wonderful Thursday. I'm so excited because after this podcast is done, I'm going to go get myself a bagel for Bagel Thursday.
Bagel Thursday.
This is what I just basically live to get to Thursday so I can have my weekly bagel. And it's an exciting day. I'm going to have a bagel. I'm going to have some blue bottle coffee. It's just going to be a thrill today.
Well, let me tell
you,
I'm
not even drinking
thing.
Coffee right now so that way I can have coffee later.
One thing that's amazing about being a gluttonous heathen is it every day is bagel day over at my house, man. Or lately, Starburst. For some reason, I've been a Starburst addict lately and just scarfing down Starburst. Like, by
well,
the gallon.
Not with a bagel.
Like, they're not gallons. What would you call them? By the ounce? That doesn't sound like
the truckload?
Much. By the sharing size bag. Let's just say that.
Okay.
I will scarf down a sharing size bag of Starburst. Why? I don't know. Never liked the shit before. Love it now.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, today is a huge day here in the Crappens universe because finally, Whitney Rose solves a mystery. A very, very intricate mystery. The other day we were talking about I was talking to Ben about the TV show Elsbeth on CBS and how it's this lady who just solves every murder mystery possible, but it's not as exciting because we see the murder solved at the very beginning of the episode. And so we watch this lady kind of work out something that we already know. And that's Whitney. That's Whitney solving a crime. Like, Whitney, we already knew this, Whitney. Okay. Lisa literally told her, I was the one who told Heather that I know about the Alibaba stuff. I was talking about it with them. She's like, wait a minute, I'm not talking to you, Lisa. But wait a minute, I know about the Alibaba stuff. No, Lisa, I'm not talking to you. And then today, wait a minute, Lisa knows about the Alibaba stuff?
Another Whitney Rose mystery is solved.
I also love that. I love that this is our second season in a row with intrigue surrounding Lisa Barlow and missing jewelry.
Oh, yeah. Wait, missing jewelry?
Well, that her jewelry went missing, but this time on purpose. A.K.A. her Whitney Rose prism.
Oh, you're right. Yes, yes, yeah. You're right. Oh, I wonder, this wasn't the story that they were all talking about where Lisa lost another $60,000 ring. I think that happens later, I think, in the season. Lisa, yeah. Lisa's bony-ass fingers. For someone who's talking about drinking Frosties all the time, the woman cannot keep a ring on her finger, you know?
No. It's difficult.
And all the Frosty drinkers know that she's full of shit, because people who really drink Frosties like water know that rings cannot get off of your finger, okay?
No.
We make sure that we get enough calories in there to keep that shit tight.
Man, is today going to be a Frosty day as well? I have not
God
had a Frosty.
Damn it, Ben. Just decades. Go crazy, Ben. Just commit murder. It's the purge. Just go out Bagel and just and kill Frosty? Whoever you want to on the street. You're not ever going to get in trouble for it. It's just a fucking purge over at your house today. What's going on? You're just giving up all rules, all regulations.
I have to say, I feel like a lunatic right now because all I can think about is getting to my bagel. Like, I'm like, I can't believe I have to talk about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City right now, and all I want is a bagel. I'm going to be like, this is going to be the recap for me. Next scene.
All I can think about are all the world issues Whitney Rose could solve if we just set her free. You know?
I now have a vision of a bagel that I want to eat very badly. No, it'll be all the sweeter. I will say this, by the way, this was a great episode of Salt Lake City, and I really enjoyed it. And it was so funny because I sat down to watch it, and you know, like after last night's or the previous night's New York, Real Housewives of New York, I was like, oh god, this show tries to be so chic and so cool. I was like, oh good, I'm so glad to sit down with Salt Lake City, which is like currently the Bravo silly show. This is the silliest
they're
one.
They're like, hey, let's right pull over to the shoulder of the road and shoot a scene, guys. How about that?
Yeah.
We have permits for anywhere today? Yeah, I'll meet you in the shoulder. Okay, sounds good. Yeah.
This is the preeminent show on Bravo that shoots scenes in parking lots, like every multiple times a season, every season.
Half the episode was in a parking lot or on the side of the road.
So I was like, okay, great. So, but of course, it actually opened up. You know, we'll get to it, but like, it actually starts with actually a very serious scene. I was like, oh my god!
Henry's playing video games. It was like so intense. I was like, look at Henry. Henry persists like no matter what. Here he is. He's just going through and he's playing fucking Call of Duty, man. I mean, that is someone who's really there to serve his country. And I just want to say, Henry, thank you for serving your country. Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Henry. Hey, are you playing Cartagena?
No, Mom. It's called Call of Duty.
Like I said, Cartagena? Call of Baby Gorgeous. Is it Call of Baby Gorgeous? Hey, you better watch out. Right around that corner, there's a hug waiting. Get over here. Oh my god, I lost my ring. I lost it. Is your game called Let's Go to Wendy's? Because that's my Call of Duty.
So it does. He won't. He's, you know, typical kid or adult. We're adults who play games, and we just stare at the screen. Weeks, months can go by. I lost a good chunk of my 20s. To weed and video games. I remember none of it. I remember a lady named Lara Croft with a really long ponytail who figured shit out. But, you know, that's it. A lot of them are just gone. And he's doing that right now. And she's trying to talk to him. But she also raised people to just ignore her because that's how she is. I remember the scene. This recalled back to the scene where she was just texting and John's talking to her and she just stays texting. He keeps trying to talk to her. And then he eventually just leaves the room and she just keeps texting.
Yeah. Henry is like, I'm in my video game phase. I'm not going to listen to you. So then we go over to Meredith. I think this was our only Meredith scene of the entire episode, which is a little wild, if I remember correctly. I think this was her only moment. She is practicing for her bat mitzvah. So she's singing, she's like, Shema Yisrael, I don't know, I know. And the rabbi is like, Maybe we call in someone to do the singing for you, and then you just read it in Hebrew afterwards. Okay.
Right.
I was like, whoa, Meredith.
The rabbi's...
She's like, the rabbi's like, well, you know, I appreciate what you're doing. This is very significant. But maybe that, maybe when you sing it, use your internal voice.
She's like, yeah, inside voice. Let me just tell you this. What does that mean? Inside voice, please. Also, I know that you were trying to sing a prayer, but it sounds like what you said was Whitney's jewelry comes from Ali. What does
there's
that
a
mean?
Very there's a very specific Jewish prayer that's about putting people on blasts. No, that was not it. But the rabbi is like, well, awesome, well done. You know, so what I'll do is I'll send you all of the prayers with the translation and the transliteration, and then when you sing them, just sing them into your cuff. Because I just, or you know, maybe go to a vocal coach before our next lesson. That's what I'm saying. It's just, you know, your voice is very intense for me right now, Meredith.
I have to say, you know, my best friend growing up was Jewish. So I went to Hebrew school and all that stuff with him after school. And at his bar mitzvah, let me tell you one thing this boy could not do, sing. I mean, not even close. And I became friends with the Jews, became one of the tribe, you know, honorary, yes. Because I was at Hebrew school all the time. So I became friends with all the Jewish kids. And so I went to quite a few bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs in my day, and not a goddamn one of them could sing. I don't know if God chose you for everything else and just left singing out of it. Because I know Barbara can sing. So there's some of you out there who can do it. But in El Paso, the Jewish population is lacking in the vocal department.
I will tell you one thing.
Right.
Would you
like that right
now? Growing up, I would go to synagogue every Saturday with my dad, especially like leading up to your, you know, the bar mitzvah. So, you know, you sit through a lot of bar and bat mitzvahs, and when you get like a kid who actually sings and like cares about singing, it's like, oh, thank God. It sounds so much better. No, because there are some kids, like the drama club kids, who are also getting like bat mitzvah. It's like, I don't know, love. You're like, oh, yes, you know, but like, then you have the majority of the kids are just like,
but what about Job? Is it
pink? Pink would do an amazing bat mitzvah. She would just, well, first of all, she would be holding that, she would be up there on, in the rafters, twirling around above the Torah. They're like, wow. She's like, you're not only going to get to hear the Haftorah, you're going to see a show. That would be my dream.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, so Meredith is doing this. Very, very ambitious, and it's a lot of work, so it's very impressive that she's doing this. So she's like, well, I don't sing in public, so this is going to be very interesting. And the rabbi's like, well, maybe don't sing in private either, honey.
No kidding. She's, you know, showers seem inanimate, but they can hear as well. You know, stop torturing our showers.
So Meredith is like, yeah, guide me on the voice. And scene. I'm done for the week, everyone.
Does your shower seem to have more grime on it, more soap grime than usual? It's trying to cover its ears. Okay, stop singing in the shower. So then we go to somewhere called Fika Spa, which, what is this salt? Is this salt spa?
This is
get blowing people all over Salt Lake City. Why is this salt spa in every Utah show all the time? This is like the third time they've gone to a fucking salt spa.
Well, they went there on Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. If you remember, I think Whitney and Layla went there, and then Layla's kid was like just climbing all over the salt and touching all the switches. So
they also went there on like, this show.
Yeah, I think they did. But if it looks like the levels of salt are lower in this episode, it's probably because half the salt dissolved in that kid's snot as it was climbing all around.
I know that scene kind of ruined the fucking spa for the Fika spa for me, because I'm like, you know, yeah. Gross.
I don't want to walk around in your child's not salt.
Yeah, going into a room where you just feel peaceful because there's like a mineral. I want my own. Like, I don't want to sit in yours. It's just weird. Like, meditate at home. That's what I say. It's not a McDonald's.
Yeah. You know what? Here's what you do. You get a box of Morton's kosher salt. You sit next to it and you think about things.
Yeah, the ions. Get the fuck out of here. The ions, guys. It's going to help your positivity. Negative really? I haven't worked on this cast because you guys have been doing this for years and everyone's still the same.
So Lisa and Bronwyn are at the Fika Spa.
Because why?
And which is fika spot, which is funny because we have now learned what fika is.
We did.
And it has nothing to. Yeah, that was the Swedish thing where you like at like 4 o'clock you stop and have like a little snack.
No, well, it's like cookie time.
Yeah, it's cookie time. It is not plunge yourself into a room of salt time.
What kind of gay am I? I can't even believe I just said that. I didn't mean to say it's cookie time. I meant to say it's cookie time. True Beverly Hills. You can't just say it's cookie time. You have to sing it.
I thought that was Pink getting ready for
what about services. Cookie time?
What about cookies? What about all the chocolate chips we could have baked into them?
So Lisa and Bronwyn are there. She's like, oh my God, I've been thinking about you all weekend. When you held up the phone and I saw Blank's picture, I could never have imagined that his family is Gwen's family. Crazy.
And already I was like, wait, what? Huh? And I was like, I couldn't remember who Gwen was. I was like, Gwen, did we meet Gwen? Is she a friend of? What's happening? So Bronwyn's like, Lisa and I are sitting in the airport. And we had some connecting flight back from Milwaukee, and she said something to me, and I made a face, which, to be fair, I also make this face all the time. Like, for instance, I went into the Hudson News, and I bought a Kit Kat, and the lady said, why are you making that face? I said, because I'm getting a Kit Kat, and I'm really happy. They're like, why are you frowning? I said, I'm not frowning. This is just my resting frown face. Like, oh, okay. So I made my resting frown
face. Then I bought the Kit Kat shop and fired her.
And then I said, yeah, I want a Kit Kat. And yeah, my husband is 36 older than me. What else do you want to know, lady?
So Lisa in the airport was like, oh my God, you look just like Gwen. And she said, no, I don't. She looks just like her dad. And then she opened her phone to show her Gwen's dad. And Lisa was like, I know that guy. Well, Lisa takes it over. She's like, yeah, she posted out a picture. And I was like, hold on. I'm finishing up my chocolate frosty TM. And then I said, I literally like know him like. And she's like, you know Gwen's dad? And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I know his parents. Well, I know his parents well. Big frosty people.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, wow. Well, here comes some tea. But actually the scene becomes... I found it to be a very emotional. I was actually emotionally caught up in the scene. So Bronwyn tells us that she got pregnant with Gwen when she was 19, turning 20. Her biological father was not involved, and then he passed away when she was turning 2. And Lisa's like, I didn't ever connect the dots. I mean, I wouldn't call Lisa Barlow a big dot connector in the first place. So it's like, it's okay, Lisa. Don't put that on yourself.
And so she's like, you know, when we went to, I was only 18 when I found out I was pregnant. And so we went to his parents' house to tell them. And Lisa's like, I literally can't imagine. And she's like, yeah, it wasn't pleasant. Basically, he's from a small town. And they basically were like, you're a stupid slut. This is all your fault. Mm-hmm. You ruined our son. You know, fuck off, like, Prego. What? Fuck off, Preggy Peggy. And basically shunned her for being pregnant. And
yeah, they're like, why don't you go abroad, have the baby, give it away, and then come back.
Yes.
It was like 18. It was basically like a Downton Abbey storyline, but they were considering it in real life.
Oh, I think that shit still happens all the time.
It probably does, which is very sad. But it was like, it's horrifying. And you can see Bronwyn is like... Seeing the emotions on her face is really where you're so impacted, because you really see her trying to. I feel like she is so rageful about, rightfully so, about this incident. And I think she also is like, I think this is like, it torments her, you know, the way she was treated about this and how it affected her daughter. So they basically were like, fuck off. And she realized that she was going to do this on her own. And then she had to go home to her. You know, her dad, who is like a high member in the temple in Oakland, and it was like embarrassing for her whole family, etc. And, you know, it affected her relationship with her mom. It strained her relationship with her mom. And she says something very poignant, which is like, it's a total mind fuck to think that this is the best thing I've ever done. And so many people think it's the worst thing I've ever done.
Yeah, she's like, everybody else was embarrassed about this except me. I wasn't embarrassed at all. Wow.
Yeah. And then she's saying, I thought there's like no way that this person can know I have a child somewhere and like someday and not come for her, which I feel like probably the fact that this guy died is also probably hard because there's no way to close that loop. Like, oh, well, hopefully maybe someday he will like grow up and want to like have be there for his daughter. But like now he's passed and everything. And she basically said that her dad, I think she reached out to them or sent an email or something like that. And she's still waiting for a phone call from Gwen's grandparents.
What a piece of shit. Well, that whole family are pieces of shit. Fuck those people. Oh my God. This was really, really rough to hear. And like these sweet little grandparents who now want a chance. Fuck you. Your chance is gone. Okay. I hope their chance is gone.
So people like that don't fucking there.
Deserve it. And your son's dead. Wah, wah. So now you want to try to get a little piece of your son back. Fuck you. Your son was an asshole. So I hope they get a little piece of asshole back. And Gwen gives them some asshole right back. I don't believe this is a time for forgiveness. And I don't believe this is a time for grace. I believe this is a time for go fuck yourself, grandma. I hope they go with that.
I don't think Gwen would. I don't think Gwen is ever interested in forgiving them. I think she just wants her daughter to have the ability to ask questions about her dad.
Well, yeah, Gwen's the daughter.
Complete sense. Right, Gwen does. Yeah, sorry. I meant Bronwyn. Bronwyn will not forgive, and I don't think she should. But these people are pieces of shit. I mean, you have a granddaughter out there, and you don't want to, like, you don't even want to associate with the granddaughter because of some sort of moral code that you allegedly live by.
That your son also completely violated, by the way. That's what kills me. It's like the men. It's always the girls' faults, you know? The girls aren't the one with the boner poking up against their jeans, begging them to do something day in, day out. It's the men. It's the men. And I'm not saying women don't get horny, but that thing leads the men. That penis leads more people into temptation than any woman ever did. I don't understand who wrote the Bible. Probably a man. Who else? A fucking man wrote it, you know, of course.
Yeah. And so Lisa basically says that she met with the grandparents the other day, and she said something, and the grandparents were like, it's time. And Bronwyn is essentially like, I want this for Gwen, but it's going to physically pain me to watch her grow close with them.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was pretty gut-wrenching. I feel like watching Bronwyn in that place, and I'm sure she's not alone in this world. There are probably a lot of people who are in this situation, and it's like you see her trying to reconcile different emotions and wanting to do what's best for your kid and wanting to suppress your own emotions, but it's like, and then feeling like it's probably so unfair that you have to suppress your emotions when you're not the one who did anything wrong. It was very compelling for me to watch.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
If you or someone you care about has cancer, Macmillan Cancer Support's online community is here to help from day one. Macmillan's free online forum provides a safe space to get support from both experts and others who've been there. Members support each other anonymously, sharing what's helped them on a range of subjects, from dealing with side effects such as hair loss and fatigue, to money worries and managing work, or talking with children about a diagnosis. There are different forums on cancer types or experiences, opportunities to ask an expert, and blog posts. Find support 24/7 from people who get what it's like to have cancer. To join, search Macmillan Online Community.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast from Wondery and T-Boy about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who brought them to life. Like, did you know that Super Mario, the best-selling video game character of all time, only exists because Nintendo couldn't get the rights to Popeye? Or Jack, that the idea for the McDonald's Happy Meal first came from a mom in Guatemala? From Pez dispensers to Levi's 501s to Air Jordans, discover the surprising stories of the most viral products. Plus, we guarantee that after listening, you're going to dominate your next dinner party. So follow the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the best idea yet early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. It's just the best idea yet.
So then we go to Woodward, Utah, and Whitney's meeting up with Heather and Brittany to go skiing. I'm going to snowboard, though. So they do that, and they make a cute little video. And then Heather's like, speaking of videos, what was that video? Has she seen the video, Brittany? Has she seen it? Oh, my God. She sent me a video the night she got back from Milwaukee. You won't believe it, Whitney. You won't believe it. And we see the video. And Brittany's coming home from Milwaukee to 4 dozen roses, gifts, and a card from Jared. Oh, little Jared.
He went to Jared. So Brittany's like, he wants to meet up with me. I mean, obviously, he's sending me flowers and he's sending me love notes. And when he's like, so are you considering meeting up with him? Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I do feel like he deserves closure. I'm like, he deserves nothing. Why does he deserve closure? What is this bullshit? You just want to be an Osmond. You want to live on Osmond Lane. You don't care about closure. You want him to say, please come back to me, baby. I'll be better. I'll hold your hand in public now.
This guy doesn't want closure either. He just wants to string her along more, which we see. So I was, you know, scrolling through the internet, as one does, and I came upon Bravo and Blaze, you know, we love on this show, Bravo and Blaze. Lots of good info over there. Go follow her, Jenny Blaze. Hi, Jenny. So she actually transcribed this whole note, which was very helpful. She took screenshots and wrote that shit down. So thankful.
Mm, I love this.
Here it is. You are a unicorn, ... Hence the unicorn gift. I love you. Thought 4 dozen roses would be nice to come home to. I presume there was a wink in there. I understand from a credible source that your new friends, quote-unquote, on the show helped come to the decision to dump me. How sad. I've been with you and loved you through all the, quote-unquote, hard times. You and I have been through so much together. We have both blank out, and we are both human. Heart, I guess. That's the price I pay for loving a, quote-unquote, real housewife, quote-unquote, quote-unquote, quote-unquote. And our private life isn't private anymore. You told me you and I could get through anything. I thought that was true. But I'm sorry. You don't see me. I'm a good man, Britt. Hashtag Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Oh, that wasn't in his note. That was Jenny's. I was like, why is he hashtagging? Why is he hashtagging like, a handwritten note?
He's like, well, I guess our private life isn't public, even though I am from a public life family that I'd like to use where I can. But now our semi-public life that's mainly private is now more semi-public, even though I'd like it to be private. So in the spirit of privacy, I demand that we continue privately by having a scene publicly on your TV show.
Exactly. And I'm sending you these flowers with a huge gift and as many flowers as I can so they look bigger for the camera, which I'm sure they're going to be on. Hashtag quote unquote. Thank you, Jared. The lesser Osmond. But still, at the end of the day, an Osmond. You're welcome.
You're a soldier of love, Jared.
What a douche. So, I mean, God, even before we meet the guy, just listening to this, quote unquote.
But it's
how dare I think I would ever have a private life with a quote-unquote real housewife. What has she been shooting this show 2 weeks? Come on.
I'm like, are you running for office somewhere? Okay, I'm sure the Moab town council will will still be a race that you can win. So Brittany is like, he's also totally manipulating her, right, with this whole thing. Like, wow, I can't believe we're putting everything out in public, which is what manipulators do. We've seen it with Jax and other people. Like, why are you telling everyone everything? Like they don't, people who are acting poorly don't like their shit all out there. And that's what we see here. So anyway, so Brittany is, you know, feeling, she's like, she wants to give him closure, wants to hear him out. And Whitney's like, I know that you won't love this, but it's getting a little complicated. Like tinfoil, you know? How do they do that? Because like 1 minute we're all pro-Jared, and then another minute we're putting metal on Tupperware, but it's metal you can move? I don't know. I don't get it.
Why can't you microwave it? But microwaves are made of metal. Huh.
Yeah. Press and seal? Is that made of seals? Because that's not right. Who's Saran? And why are there... Has anyone ever... Here's the thing. Okay, here's a question. Saran raps. Everyone knows about Saran, but no one's heard him rapping. Why?
Fucking idiot. So Brittany's like, oh, well,
not everyone was pro-Jared, I'll tell you that. Lisa was so anti-Jared, it really affected what I did. And maybe it was for the best, girls. She's just way too invested in my personal life. I feel a bit bothered by that.
Oh, please, you're like the cast of Oklahoma yelling at the audience for showing up. You're doing a show. You're constantly out here fucking singing about Jared, okay? You're lucky anyone's even listening to your desperate ass. Shut up, Brittany. I don't even feel bad for Brittany. She's so lame. No. I'm sick of Brittany's shit. I've known this person in boy and girl form my entire life, and guess what? I'm sick of my soul getting sucked by you. Go do something else. I'm going to read a book, you fucking user. You sit around and use everybody around you to listen to your drama, and then the second someone does something snarky or stands for you on your side, then you turn it around to get that pathetic man back. Go get some fucking self-confidence somewhere else, you loser. Stop wasting my time.
Yeah, she's a failure of casting, and I think a failure of the show at the moment, because they're really only presenting her as this girl who comes on screen and then talks about a guy that we don't care about. And then it's just like on and on and on and on. And I think like if she were a full-time cast member, they would flesh out her life a little bit more, so it like this would matter. But she's like a friend of.
There's no fleshing out this life. That's all she does. She's broken up with him 18 times, Ben. She's got as much depth as a fleshlight. Like, she's fleshed out.
But what I'm saying is that ultimately they've done a really bad job of making us care about this. Yeah. So, like, you know, as a friend of, you are able to have a whole storyline that we care about things. But I think they just started off with her, like, out the gates, like, oh, I have this boyfriend, we're on and off, and then we are, like, just knee-deep in the on and off drama without, like, they didn't earn our enjoyment of the storyline, right? Like, and this is the fault of the producers. They needed to set her up properly so that way I would actually care about this, but
I don't think it's the fault of the producers.
It's this endless storyline.
I can't blame the producers on that one. I think it's just, they're horrible people, they're both users. He's using her, leading her on, stringing her along, using her for sex or whatever, God knows what else, any kind of support or whatever, manipulating her. He's a total user shitbag, and she's using him for his name and whatever pathetic love she needs. And then she's using everybody around her just to be her audience for her drama that she's so desperate for. They're both fucking users. Get out of here. And now, on the show, they're kind of
agree on every single point, but I think it's the producer's job to like find a way in for us to get invested in her stupidity, because Lord knows we have gotten invested in all sorts of other stupid ass things like the Prism jewelry line. So, you know, like
I'm invested in that.
We're more invested than you may realize, you know? So for
you're
instance,
just saying that because Whitney's wearing the hat right now. You're like, wait a minute. Why do I can't I stop thinking about it?
Read it. Look at my head. Stare at my head. What do you think? Saran wrap. What does it rhyme with? Nothing. You can't rhyme with anything. By. You can't rhyme Saran with anything. So how is it wrap? Huh?
Wow. I stand by that. I agree 100% with everything you're saying. And I also feel like it was on the producers to give us a way in so that we would care. Caring is like we don't care about the outcome, but that it just doesn't feel like it feels like we walked in midway through a story arc.
Well, I don't want to weigh in.
And that's where I feel like they went.
I don't want to weigh in with this girl. I want to weigh out. Okay. So I don't need a weigh-in with her. Get me out. I just need them to send a life raft because this girl is exhausting. Oh, my God.
Please just bring in Maylee at this point. So
seriously. Maylee's in the trunk. Like,
she's like, I was dating Jared first.
Hey, wait a second. Guys, I'm really upset and hurt by Lisa right now. She gave me the biggest F you ever. After we got home from our trip, Charles from the Kin Hotel called me. Flashback.
Whitney, why are you waving your arms and turning around in circles? I'm not.
I'm being absorbed by a flashback.
Charles from the Kin. Kin from the Charles. Milwaukee. Kin from the Charles. Milwaukee. Charles from the Kin. Kin from the Charles.
So we see a flashback of Whitney getting the call from Charles from the Kin. And just like that, she kept going, Charles from the Kin?
Charles from Kent? Charles from the Kent? Charles from the Kent?
He's in charge. So
he's like, hey, Whitney, hi. It sounds suspiciously like girl, the guy that she talks to later. We know him. What's his name? We'll get to him later.
Was that Up and Adam?
Yes, was that Up and Adam. Up and Adam. Adam. It's Adam. He's like, girl, let me tell you, I'm over here at Charles from the Kin, and they were cleaning, and they found a prism necklace left behind in the guest house. It said prism. And she's like, wait a minute. Whose room was it? Girl, do you want me to make it a mystery? Yeah. Did it cling to things? Was it press? Was it seal? Did it try to rhyme? No, none of those things. Was it saran wrapped? No, girl, no. It was not saran wrapped. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Why are you doing the Murder, She Wrote theme?
I'm not.
Wait a second. I just had a breakthrough. All this time, we were calling it Saran. But what if her name is Sarah Ann? We're on to you, Sarah Ann. We know you're a rapper.
What if it's not a sir at all? What if it's a ma'am? Ma'am rap.
Have you ever noticed that the Sahara Desert has most of the letters of Saran wrap? I think that's not a coincidence.
It also has hair.
What if you wait a second. If you rap in the Sahara, are you Saharan rapping? I think I'm getting somewhere, guys.
So it was Lisa. It was in Lisa's room. Oh, who wants to stay at the fucking kin now? I don't think you get to call guests. Well, I guess he wasn't tattletale.
No. He was saying he thought he was doing the right thing. Yeah. He was like, hey.
Okay, I'm sorry, Charles. We didn't actually. I almost attacked him. I was like, how dare you?
Yeah, don't stay off of Charles from the Kin's back.
Okay, sorry.
We didn't actually say what he did, which was that he called up and said, hey, it looks like someone left their prism necklace behind. So, you know, like someone left their necklace behind.
I did say
like,
that.
Was this someone, this belonged to someone, was someone missing their necklace? And then she's like, I have a question. Which room was the necklace in? He's like, it was in Lisa's room. Oh my God. Lisa left her prism necklace back in her room. Charles from the Kin told me that's $25 she basically left on the table.
And here's the thing, you know, I was going hard for Meredith that night. Why are you talking about my business? And Heather's like, but Lisa was the one who told Meredith about it. She goes, what? She said, Lisa's the one who told Meredith about it. Lisa told Meredith? I just wish they had another flashback to Lisa going, but wait, yeah, I was talking about it. So I was talking about it with her. Alibaba? Yeah, I was talking about that. Hold on, Lisa. I'm not talking to you. Anyway, Meredith.
Heather goes, Lisa told Meredith. Meredith told me. I told you. Okay, Brittany, hold on one second. We have to give her about 30 seconds to process that line of logic.
Lisa told Meredith. Meredith told me, carry the one. Do I have to grid this math? It's not math. It's not math, Whitney. It's just a chain of events. Okay, it's from the top. The square root of Meredith is Lisa, and Lisa divided by Heather is Whitney. I don't get it.
Well, it's more than the business, Whitney. What you're really upset at is it's something personal, right, Whitney? Heather's just here, basically. Just lighting shit on fire the whole episode. And Whitney's like, yeah, I am taking it personal because it is personal because this is my business. This is my brand. And it's not just something that popped up. I felt like this was planted. Dun, dun, dun. I was like, by who? By Lisa. And Whitney's like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because after I got that call from Charles at the kin, I started thinking, Lisa's vindictive. She must still be mad at me over that podcast. Cut to Nick Viles' podcast. Lisa's always been the villain.
So then Whitney's like,
because why else would she toss the necklace I gifted her into the trash? And now hearing that Lisa started this rumor and not Meredith, I think I had this wrong.
You need to get to the bottom of that. That's your job in this episode, Whitney. We've come up with it.
Yeah, I need to get to the bottom of it. But what if there's a wall of saran wrap in the way?
Oh, God, please don't start this again. You can't rhyme, Whitney. You can't rhyme. Now, this is so Whitney, too, by the way. She threw it in the trash. They did not say it was in the trash. Charles from the Kid right. did not say we found it in the trash can. At least I hope Charles is not going through the trash cans of the people. He said they found it in the room. Whitney's like, you threw it away. Why did you bake my necklace into a cake and then have a dog poo-poo it out and then clean it up and then put it on a nurse's uniform? Like, what? She left it in her room. The sleeve is bad enough, Whitney.
I can't believe that when you left that necklace in the hotel room trash, you then called the Better Business Bureau and complained about my business. It's like, what? What? That did not happen.
So then we go to Mary's house. Oosh, this scene is... So she's calling for Robert Jr. and he's got those wooden letters from the Hobby Lobby painted red over his door, huge, that say Robert Jr. And she's like, I'm ready to go to dance class. You there? And he's like,
you think I could get a little money?
She's like, for what? He's, just for food. She's like, it's used for good purposes, right? Because you know your body is like a plant. And if you don't water a plant, if you don't feed a plant, if you put a plant in the hospital, what does it get? Hospital smell. And then what happens with hospital smell? You die. Yeah. And we don't want that.
When she said, what happens to a plant when you don't water it and feed it? The amount of time it took for him to come up with, it dies. Get him to a hospital. I mean, at this point, like, I'm not even making jokes, right? This is so sad. I don't like this. We know what ended up happening to him. You know, he got caught.
Well, for people who don't know, the larger context of, for people who just don't know, they're like, it was just a guy, like a stoner kid, but he had an issue with pills and he was
codeine, pills, getting fucked up all day and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was on, he did it on social media and people were very concerned. And so that's like the larger context that is sort of being implied through this scene.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I support him, but I want him to get a job and be responsible, you know, but he just can't do it right now. And I know it has a lot to do with his lifestyle. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna go lay down. Yeah, there's a lot that needs to happen over there. I don't know. That's sad. You know,
sad.
Seems like a sweet kid, so I hope they figure that shit out.
Well, don't worry, because here comes Angie K coming up to drive the Greek mobile up to Mary's house. Hello, Mary. So they hop in there and they're going to hip hop class. So they're driving and they get to Millennium Dance Studios and Heather's daughter is there. I mean, because honestly, when I think of Heather's kids, I think future of hip hop. So Angie is like, well, this really shows Mary and I's level of expertise on the dance department. We are in a dance class with Georgia Gay, who is a non-Greek teenager. I like to think I'm a younger version of Jennifer Grey, but I guess when I'm making a Jennifer Grey reference as a current cool dancer, I guess that shows that I'm maybe not the younger version of Jennifer Grey after all.
I don't even think these kids are old enough to watch Dirty Dancing, but if they did, they would know that I am the OG Jennifer Greek. I am Greek. So they
nobody puts spanakopita in the corner.
It already is a corner.
It's actually perfect for a corner. It fits right in. I rethink my entire life view. Please put the spanakopita in the corner.
Movie is different in Greek.
Movie hits different. Spanakopita.
I had the tabbouleh of my life.
Hungry tzatziki. One look at you, I'm dipping pita.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
In a quiet suburb, a community is shattered by the death of a beloved wife and mother. But this tragic loss of life quickly turns into something even darker. Her husband had tried to hire a hitman on the dark web to kill her. And she wasn't the only target. Because buried in the depths of the internet is the kill list, a cache of chilling documents containing names, photos, addresses, and specific instructions for people's murders. This podcast is the true story of how I ended up in a race against time to warn those whose lives were in danger. And it turns out convincing a total stranger someone wants them dead is not easy. Follow Kill List on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Kill List and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Check out Exhibit C in the Wondery app for all your true crime listening.
Then we cut to Heather going into her meeting at the Salt Caves, and Lisa arrives and they're hugging, and Lisa's like, oh my God, what is this? It's Salt Caves? She's like, yeah, it's made out of 16 tons of Himalayan salt. She's like, oh my God, how many French fries would that cover?
Wait, so we were wrong, by the way. At the first scene, they were actually, in retrospect, they were just getting pedicures at a place called Fika. And we're like, how could they call it Fika? That's cookie time. And they're just sitting in salt. That's wrong. They were actually getting pedicures. Now they're in salt.
Yeah. So, sorry, it's salt, guys.
Establishment.
Yeah, they talk about salt and stuff. And then that's when the employee's like, yeah, when you're surrounded by this much salt, there's a negative ion healing effect that happens in your body. So it's super grounding and relaxing just to sit amongst the salt. Jesus, just go to Walmart. Do you know how much sodium is walking around those aisles? Jesus Christ. Why is everybody there so stressed out then?
And Lisa's like, may I got some tea? And you can tell that the employee was like, we don't offer tea and I'm uncomfortable with this request, but we're on camera right now, so I have to say yes to everything. And you know
that tea melts salt, right? Please don't spill. She's
like, just please don't spill, because that will actually dissolve our entire business model.
And Heather's like, wow, this is so much different than the, wait for it, the Costco Himalayan sea salt that I have in my house. Hold on, Lisa, don't talk yet. The audience is laughing. You guys are adding that in. So good. Okay, Lisa, go ahead.
Anyway, so they get their teas, and we cut back to Angie and Mary at dance class, and Angie's like, well, I feel like we haven't talked since the trip. I don't know if you had fun. I had fun. Did you have fun? I had fun. Did you have fun? I had fun. It's like, okay, Angie. So you did have a little blowout, a little bit. She goes, yeah, my exchange with Lisa was so bad, saying that like, oh, I say I've got to take care of my daughter. Well, that's when the conversation at lunch, that's when the conversation starts at lunch, and then it's dinner time, and I'm like, I have to go give Electra dinner. I think that's a normal thing to ask for from a Greek mother.
So she's like, that was low. And she's like, you know, this girl's had a problem with every one of her friends. She had a problem with Jen, Heather, Meredith, Whit. Me, Angie, H, Ma, Nika, Mary, and now me. There's a reason no one can keep Lisa happy. She's like impossible. Mary, we were like sisters. We talked multiple times a day.
And now I don't hear from her anymore. And Heather's telling me it's because of me.
I love her.
Heather's blaming.
She's so funny, like waving her finger around like, and we were sisters, and now we don't talk anymore.
Cool, who are you telling off?
I also like, I love also the slight lean in that Angie does when she's mad. She does, she sort of like pivots forward just slightly. It's like, it's like those carnival rides where they sort of send you forward. So she's like, Heather's blaming me that I pulled away, or I'm not calling Lisa as much. She is totally siding with Lisa.
So then we go back to the salt cave, and Lisa's like, oh my God, that Harlem Museum was so weird. That was, what a weird place. And Heather's like, yeah, well, here's why you're upset, okay?
Yeah.
I feel like Angie is changing the terms of your friendship, like she's challenging you unnecessarily. And she's like, oh my God, I do feel like that. Yeah, I feel like that too. Yeah, and I feel bad, because here's why else you're mad. I don't like the way she's treating you and some of the things she's saying. Mm-mm. You're mad, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it feels really shut-eye. Like, I'll tell you that much. Because, yeah, I feel like it's shitty, too. She was upset after Harley Davidson. We talked the next morning, and she threw out some jabs. By the way, let's not forget, Heather is now telling Lisa why she should be mad at Angie and acting like she's a good friend to Lisa, when the scene before, she was telling Whitney how Lisa was the one who started everything with the Alibaba thing.
That's what she does.
Shady.
I mean, she used to at least try to hide it. But this season, she's like, let's keep the show on the air, and I'm just going to start fights with people for no reason. It's just fun. My daughter takes hip-hop. That's my storyline. So go ahead, guys. Fight with each other. And it's actually pretty funny because they're such dummies. They fall for it every time. Like, Heather Gay has been doing this for years. And she also partners up with Whitney to do it normally. And that's why it's so funny that Whitney acts like she didn't have this plan the whole time, like, to have this big, huge drama. Anyway, it's really funny because she's taking such joy in it, and these dummies fall for it every time. So Lisa's like, wait a minute. Oh, because Heather goes, yeah, she was being mean. She said, my daughter needs me. Like, she's not in the room playing video games. Ooh, she made a Call of Duty burn. And Lisa's like, how dare she make a Call of Baby Gorgeous? That was a very expensive game.
So we see a flashback to Angie telling Heather, venting to Heather, saying, I feel like I need my daughter. You know, I am a present mother, and, you know, my daughter needs me all the time. She's not up playing video games until 2 a.m. And which, to be fair, that actually could be something, a general thing you say about kids, but was most likely pointed at you know, Henry.
I think that was a much worse dig than Lisa's, your daughter, you are always getting off the phone with me to go talk to your daughter. Because I don't even feel like that was a dig from Lisa. I mean, she brought up the daughter, but which I guess is a mortal sin. But she didn't say, like, your daughter, your slut daughter. She's always getting off to talk to her. And Angie is like, yeah, that fucking loser plays video games all day and stuff. So she goes lower, but...
Wow. Oh, she's talking about my parenting. Oh, I'm like a great mom. Like this, you know, when she gets really upset, she becomes Chicago. And she's like, I'm like a great mom. Okay. What is she talking about? And Heather's like, well, you know what? It felt like a dig. Like, Elektra requires more than Henry. And you don't understand that. Like, she can't take time away from Elektra to be your friend. You know what it felt like? It felt like she was saying Elektra's the best child in the world and Henry's the worst child in the world. How do you feel about that, Lisa?
Now, she didn't literally say this, but I think what she meant is that Henry smells like poo-poo and Elektra smells like roses. So what are you going to do about it, Lisa? I think you're very upset about this. She's like, I am upset. And you know what? If I'm such a shitty mom, my kids are doing pretty good for having such a shitty mother. I mean, look at what if I've found, like, all of the Michelin stars in Cartagena. So.
You know what? Heather tells us, I think I could have gone my whole life and never told Lisa what Angie said, but I also could have gone my whole life and not being on TV. So I have an obligation. And I thought what Angie said was mean. And it was very mean and hurtful. And it should be brought to Lisa's attention so that way Lisa could be hurt. And it's not indicative of the way I've known Angie to feel about Lisa. And I just felt like something Lisa should know.
Oh, you go. So Lisa's like, oh, well, she could take the Mother of the Year award. That's a fucking low blow. Like, I'm actually really fucking mad right now. I can't even drink this Frosty. Just kidding. I can. Guys, delicious.
They're like, ma'am, excuse me, sorry, there's no crying allowed in the salt room because it will dissolve the salt.
But tears are made of salt.
Yeah, I know, but tear salt is different than negative ion salt. So just, can you just, like, here's a little cup to catch your tears.
Okay.
So Lisa's like,
I am constantly criticized by people that I don't even know me about how I am as a mother because I am a public figure. So to have someone you consider a close friend judge you for how you are as a mom is like the worst cut.
I'm like, you guys are the judges people of all. Like, I would expect nothing less than for you guys to all judge each other for being moms.
You need to get to the root of this because it's not just a personality issue. She's coming for you. She's coming for your children. What's next? Murdering your children? She's going to murder your children. Go get her, Lisa. I'm going to get her.
So now Whitney, Justin, and Bobby are in the car. And Whitney's like, hey, has anyone noticed that I gained about 7 new piercings in my earlobe? Anyone? And Justin's like, babe, what are you doing with your ear? Oh my God, you noticed. Bobby's like, I want my second piercing. Can you take me to get my second piercing? And afterwards, I want Sunkissed and I want Fanta and I'll put them in a cup together and I'm going to drink them and add Diet Coke and regular Coke and Coke Zero and Vanilla Coke. It's like,
Bobby, Bobby, I need you to come back here now, Bobby. Come on, focus, Bobby.
Bobby, I don't want to call you a drunk, but you're acting like one. So now let's set a goal. And if you meet your goal, you can get a second piercing. She's like, oh, yeah, you said I could get a second piercing already. My mama. Did you drink Mountain Dew with Santa again? Why are you talking like that? I'm not talking like anything, you fucking idiot. I don't get as many piercings. I can get as many piercings as I want. Did you steal my Dr. Pepper out of my big goal? I ain't steal shit, woman.
I don't need to talk to you or anyone else because I got my own golf cart, mother. So next time you want to sass me, you can check me on the highway going 25 miles an hour to the soda shop.
I'm 14 years old now, so you can talk to my attorney. That's what you can do.
Bobby, 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 darling.
So Whitney's like,
I get that she's 14 and she's growing up and all of her friends have piercings.
I'm sorry. This is Whitney talking.
And I get that all of her friends have piercings, but it's like the wholesomeness and the virtue of being a little kid. I think I'm just trying to hold on to that for as long as I can.
Get your hands off me, woman. You don't have to hold on to me that tight.
Let go of the Mountain Dew.
No, I'm an adult. So Whitney's like, I still can't believe we moved into a home where every window has a view of the temple.
And then all of a sudden,
hold on, I'm getting a phone call from a podcaster named Adam. I wonder what he is up to.
So Adam's like,
hello, Uppin.
His first name is Uppin. It's a traditional name. His last name is Adam.
So Adam's like, oh my God. So I was calling you because I didn't realize that it was somebody that you're close to who was putting this information out.
Yeah, I did it, mother, and I'll do it again. Bobby, this isn't about you.
God damn it. So Whitney's like, Adam is a casual friend of mine.
Oh, really? For someone who's so mad about Lisa going to the press, you're friends with one of the biggest Bravo gossips on the internet. Come on, girl. Like, really, what point are you trying to make by bringing up an Adam on TV that you don't talk to the fucking press? Come on now.
He's a casual friend of mine who is also a podcaster, and he's friends with the person who runs the account that Prism's Jewelry that said that Prism's Jewelry is from Alibaba. So I asked Adam to reach out to the account to see if he could find out who fed the story, and because I have my suspicions, but I need more proof.
Did it say what account this was? Did it show on the screen?
It did not.
Damn it. I'm such a loser for not taking a screenshot and finding out what that account was. I need to know. I want to know who it is. I'll tell you this much. They're not winning any Barbara Walters awards this year. They just gave up their source right away. I was like, Jesus, can we deep throat this a little bit, people? What the hell? They're like, here's my source. Yeah. Tell me. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but tell me. I'll tell you who it rhymes with. Misa Charlo.
Adam's like, okay, so I was trying to do my best to figure it out, and I was like, can you tell me what it is? And they're like, I can't tell you what it is, but I can answer questions. I was like, okay, does this person have a jewelry brand? They said no. I said, does this person have a beauty brand? They said no. Does this person have an iconic gay son who also makes sweat tracksuits? They said no. I said, is this person someone who looks like they may be inbred? They said no. It went on for about 30 minutes until I finally asked, does this person have a liquor brand? And they said, yes. And I was like, oh my God.
Wait a minute. But no one in my friend group has a liquor brand except for Lisa Barlow.
Wait. The person who leaked it has a liquor brand? I knew it. I knew it was Kathy Hilton.
Wait a minute. I don't even know Kathy Hilton. I'm going to stick with my first answer. It's Lisa Barlow.
It's George Clooney. I keep changing my mind on my revelation.
So she's like, catching Lisa in this, especially after the outrage on Reality Von Triss, one hand it's validating, but on the same hand, it's... Wait a minute. Why are you on the same hand as validating? Get on to the other hand. Ah, ah. There's too many things on this hand. Bobby, help me. Stop waving your goddamn hand in my face, woman, and hand me the Dr. Pepper. I'm starving back here.
It means I have a friendship that potentially was never real in the first place.
So then... Whitney trying to figure it out. Lisa was literally telling you. I mean, she didn't tell you. She called the Bravo account. Okay, so do you believe that Lisa called the Bravo account?
Yes, I think everyone on this cast is reaching out to different accounts and being like, well, this is what I heard. This is a messy ass cast. And you know what? God bless them. Keep doing it.
I believe it too. I actually do believe it. But I'm wondering if the news was already out. You know what I mean? Because this has been going around for a long time. So, and I know that I'm just defending Lisa because I like her. And she doesn't need defense because I don't care if she did it. But I'm wondering if this news was already out there and Lisa was like, oh, yeah, she did do it. And I Googled it. So, I mean, I don't know. But even if she did do it, still answer the question, ma'am. How are all the pictures from Alibaba? It's Obama. He's like, thank you. Thank you for donating to my next campaign.
All the way to the top.
How did the pictures from Alibaba look exactly like your pictures on your website? You still haven't answered that question. So do that first.
Yeah, that would be very helpful. So then we go to Brittany entering Block Restaurant to meet her own Block, Jared. So Jared sits down and he's like, so... Do I make you nervous? She goes, no, I'm just nervous. I'm like, so maybe the answer is yes, Brittany. So Brittany's like, you know, I know that when I get in front of Jared, he's very convincing. And I would say even manipulative.
We'll have a charcuterie board. Go ahead, Toots. Go ahead.
I think I want a charcuterie board. God, he's so manipulative. And I have a really hard time standing my ground and staying broken up. It's been my pattern over and over again. But he's been asking and asking to have some closure. And I feel like I owe him that based on, you know, daddy issues.
Well, let me just say, you look as beautiful as a piece of rolled ham.
Thank you, Jared.
No, I'm talking to the piece of rolled ham. God, I love charcuterie. It's delicious.
He goes, I've missed you.
And I've missed you too.
No, I'm actually talking to the palm frond over there. It's very popular in these restaurants. Linda was over here earlier.
She's like, I've missed you too, Jared. Yeah. It's been a tough transition, to be honest. I didn't see it coming.
She goes, well, what makes this different than every other breakup? Jared. He's like, well,
you went to Milwaukee, and when you left, hold on, let me tug at my shirt a little bit.
Jared, you're tugging at your shirt because it's a child's shirt, Jared, okay? You're a 50-something-year-old man who doesn't work out enough to pull that shirt off. Please pull the shirt off and put it on the large size, Jared. You've earned the large size, sir. You're in your 50s. You're an Osmond. Look at all the nothing you've accomplished. Now go to the Costco and get you a normal shirt. You look ridiculous, okay?
Well, when you left, since you've been gone... I can breathe for the first time, and I'm breathing in toxicity because I'm sad, baby. I thought it was all sunshine and roses when you left for Milwaukee. And then right before the game, you sent me a little video and you said, hey, I'll call you when the game's over, babe. And then the next day rolls around, no video. You just ghosted me. And then the second night when you're in Milwaukee, I get a FaceTime call. It was from Charles from the Kin. I was like, oh, hi, Charles from the Kin. How are you?
He's like,
and
girl.
He said... He said, you don't even want to know. And I said, I don't want to even know what. He goes, honestly, I can't tell you. And then he hung up on me. It was real weird.
He sounded suspiciously like a podcaster that Whitney hangs out with. So he's like, oh, God, finally. Good. I have a chance to resolve it. And then it's Lisa Barlow, not you, FaceTiming from your phone. And she's been reading my text messages. What? The hell, Britt. What the hell?
Brittany says, on the way back from the drag bar, Lisa grabs my phone and starts messaging Jared some really mean things. And she FaceTimed him and starts singing to him some kind of song about besties and yada, yada, yada. Because Jared calls me his best friend and she thought that was hilarious. You know, things like that happen. And so Jared tells us, here's what I have a problem with. Private conversations between people that love each other. In a private way where they don't admit that they love each other, but they know they love each other because one's an Osmond and one's a desperate person. that being put out there. It's not right, man.
Yeah, he's so gross, as he does it on TV. Also, the reason that she ghosted you, quote unquote, you never messaged her back. You never said a thing back to her in all that time she was messaging you. He's like,
yeah.
Oh, all that time you said you would call me. She stopped calling you because she kept calling you. I can't believe I'm sticking up for this twit now, too. Oh, you're both infuriating people. I'm going to stop now.
Yes.
So she's like, yeah, I mean, in that moment. So basically, Lisa was like, oh, really? It's your boyfriend. And she was calling to taunt him to be like, haha, you suck. Look what you lost. Loser who mm-hmm. won't even commit to your girlfriend. Which, I mean, personally, I liked it. I've done it. I did that yeah. for my best friend once. And I still kind of regret it. I called her ex who cheated on her. And I just told him off. I told off his voicemail for a good solid 3 minutes when we were wasted at her apartment. She's like, you should call him. And I'm like, I will. And I called him and I was just like, fuck you. We never liked you in the first place. And I unloaded. And he told her later, I thought he was a nice guy. He was a German guy. He was like, I thought he was a nice guy. She's like, well, you didn't know him that well then. And I kind of regret it now. But not that much. I was still there for my girl, okay? And I'm not apologizing to you for it either, Jared.
Yeah. Brittany's like, you know, in the moment, I felt appreciative of Lisa because I felt like, you know, she's got good intentions and like, I feel like she's looking out for me. But in hindsight, it was terrible to let Lisa do that because he's an Osmond. You don't do that to Osmonds.
I've been blocked from going down Osmond Lane. Do you know how hard it is seeing Christmas decorations when you're blocked from Osmond Lane? They have all the best ones.
I've been banned from Nutrisystem. It's terrible.
So, Nutrisystem. I like that Maurice's vindictive bitch. She's like, get that girl banned from Nutrisystem.
She's out. So Jared's like, our life should be private unless we are leaning into the public side of our lives. And it's okay to have a public persona. She goes, you like it private, but I don't necessarily want it to be private. I just want to be how we are to everybody. And he's like, well, when we're out, I hold your hand. And when we're together, I have kissed you in public. Like he's saying it in a way like, there was that time last Thursday I held your hand. And remember last month I gave you your quarterly kiss. So I don't know what the problem is. I'm making concessions.
Yeah, I just make you lie about being with me to everybody because I'm humiliated by you. And except when no one's looking and I can hold your hand when it's in secret. And so she's like, well, why is it even an issue, though? Do you take accountability for me not feeling safe? And he goes, not feeling safe? Really? Now you don't feel safe?
With these, I understand that these big guns that I've got, I know they make you feel a little scared, a little threatened. It's hard when you see these muscles, right? It's like, why? I see that you've stuffed a dinner roll into your arm sleeve. So she's basically says,
that would actually make him attractive. That's really all I'm waiting for, is a man just to come with the physique of a dinner roll.
Like a doughy bicep.
Yeah.
So like a literally doughy bicep, like an actual like dough. Parker bun.
Yeah.
Parker bun in his arm.
Yeah.
Parker roll. So Brittany says, like, he doesn't ever post about me on social media, which is like, that's fine. You know, I get that. That's okay. Sometimes people aren't like that. But then she goes, he won't get off the dating apps. Yeah, you don't even have to continue the rest of the list.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Keep it there.
And then she goes, yeah, and then when they walk by cute girls, he drops her hand.
Why are you trying to give this man closure? Why are you letting him make you feel bad about your very solid choice?
That man won't even closure his zipper. Okay, he's not about to closure with you. That's for damn sure.
Until he closures his lips around your lips and his hand around your hand, he does not need any emotional closure.
Yeah, and I get this whole, you know, the Mormon culture and how women are raised to think that men are the end-all be-all and that there's like a certain desperation there that, like, you know, is kind of bred or raised into her. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, it is all like the patriarchy, etc.
Thank God for mom talk.
I think, yeah, I know. I get all that. I really do. And I'm trying to like feel for her in a way through that. But at some point, I have to stop feeling. Like, I did feel for her at the beginning. And this is just fucking pathetic. At this point, I'm just like, I can't. You know, it's like, you just can't
leave this.
It's like when someone just refuses to help themselves, at some point, you just have to back off. It's like with addiction. When you have a friend who's deeply into it, and they change. And they don't change because they're a bad person. They change because drugs literally change you. You become that. You become the drug, you know? And there becomes a certain point you have to back away, and you have to be like, this isn't even me. This is like a you thing, and I'll be here to help you on the other side. So, Brittany, we'll be here to help you on the other side. But for now, get the fuck out of here. You're... I can't.
So she goes...
You're unhelpable.
She goes, and by the way, and Jared, please throw yourself down a flight of stairs. So Brittany's like,
oh God, what a monster. He's like the next Ryan show on Netflix. Ryan, what's his buns?
Murphy. So Brittany says, she's like, Jared, you are my best friend. I base that off of the 2 months that we've been dating and the fact that you're an Osmond. Are you willing to make me feel safe and do the things that are uncomfortable for you, like kissing me? To make me feel safe.
It's not being safe. So I don't it's have to not be dating other people. What the fuck, Britt?
So she's basically saying, like, I need you to actually treat me like a girlfriend. Until you treat, I do not feel safe in this relationship. I do not feel safe that we are actually in a stable relationship until you do things like not being afraid to kiss me in public or not being afraid to hold my hand in public. And she's like, Will you do those things for me? And he goes, I've shown up every day for you, Brittany, and it's not enough. I've given you everything I can, except, of course, intimacy and access to my dating apps. So it's basically like, no, I don't want to kiss you in public.
As she says, so that's a no. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, look, I'm a really good guy, Brittany, and I'm sure that you know that every guy who's a good guy says I'm a good guy. It's just what we do. And I don't want to lose a relationship, but we don't understand each other. So you know what? Let's put a pin in it. I'll deal with you later off camera. And I don't have to keep this facade up.
Okay.
She's like, great.
Yeah. Yeah. He's trying to cast himself as the martyr here. Like, I've given everything I can. It's still not enough. You're just an unreasonable woman. Just, you know, bashing me down. And I'm an Osmond. How could you do this to me? No, he sucks. I hope we never see him again. So now we go to Bronwyn's house, and now Bronwyn has a serious talk with Gwen. And basically she sits down Gwen and they talk about the father and everything. And basically, you know, it's another emotional scene, and Gwen is really turned off because the grandparents reached out and were like, we would love to meet Gwen, but only if she's in a place in her life where she's ready to accept us. It's like, it's not up for her to be ready.
Like, you were the ones that were shunned. Oh, if she can't accept us, you were the ones who didn't accept her. You absolute dirtbag.
They're basically like, we'll meet her, but we don't want her to yell at us.
Yeah. We don't want her to judge us for the terrible fucking decisions we made. We just want her to be like, oh, look at these cute old people. No, you two can go fuck yourselves. And I'm like that Gwen is smart enough to be like, yeah, that was a huge turnoff. You know, I didn't like how they phrased that, you know, and they said they didn't know if I'm ready or not. Like, I've always been ready. It was never me that wasn't ready. You know, it was kind of on their side. And then they didn't seem excited to meet. It was just kind of like, well, I guess we'll meet you. I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really sad. And then, you know, she ends the scene on this, again, another poignant note where she's like, she says, I'm so conflicted because I don't like the way that this is happening, but I also don't want to be disappointed in myself that I didn't take the opportunity later on. Like, she wants to, Gwen wants to be like, I have some self-respect, and why should I put myself in a place of hurt for these assholes? But at the same time, she knows, like, down the line, she doesn't want to miss an opportunity to learn about her father, because at some point the grandparents will be gone and then she'll know zilch.
You're right. She's only got one picture of her dad. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. And it's like, and this is what's fucked up. Like, she should not have to be in a position where she has to make that choice, you know, that moral choice, that profound choice between self-respect and learning about her past. It should be something that is made available to her by those shitty, shitty grandparents.
Yep, and it's an interesting contrast that this scene comes right after the Brittany scene, because you see here like a young woman who is so full of a sense of self that she's like, well, I feel like they had 18 years to reach out. They woke up every day and chose not to for 18 years. And I feel like they've made how they feel pretty clear. I mean, to have that kind of sense of self at her age, when you've got someone like Brittany, like not getting it, just being so desperate and not having any sense of self. It's crazy to see someone at this age with so much. And it gives you hope in the world, you know, seeing people like this. I'm like, thank God, you know, there's still some fucking people in the world. And I was so relieved to see this because, you know, as many times as you can be like, fuck them, don't give them a chance, fuck those people, don't just forgive them because you've got feelings, to see someone actually like, no, fuck those people, good for you, girl. Like, this girl, I'm a fan of this girl for life. I love her.
Yeah,
she's my hero. Yeah. I'm getting a poster of her in my room.
She's icon. She's mother. So now we go to Heather, Lisa, Brittany, and Mary meeting up at a zip line thing. And Heather's like, I have lived in Utah for a very long time, and I feel like I've done every single recreational activity that is available. Skiing, snowboarding, ratting out one friend to another. I've done it all, but I've never gone ziplining until today.
I thought, who are the best people to come ziplining? So I picked them, and here I am. I've even got the great outdoorsman, Mary Cosby, ladies and gentlemen. We know you love her. Here she is.
And I was like, Mary Cosby is doing that? And Mary Cosby's like, I love ziplining. Every time I get a chance to do it, I do it.
Yeah.
I ziplined in Jamaica. I ziplined on the Disney cruise. I ziplined over that woman who drove off the cliff, just ziplined right over her as her car went flying into a neighborhood.
And they have to go up this muddy hill, and the golf cart is covered in mud, and there's no covering. So they go up there wooing the whole time and screaming while they all get splattered with mud. And Mary's like, why? Why did I wear white? At least I don't have mud all over my teeth, like Heather.
Heather has a splotch of mud on her lip that remains the rest of the episode. No one says to her, hey Heather, while you're eating that sandwich, before you bite into that sandwich, there's dirt caked onto your lip. It's there the whole scene.
But how does she not feel, like, do you have that much Restylane that you don't even feel that there's a big cake of mud right on your lip? How are you eating? It's crazy. These people have numbed their lips to the point they don't even know. That's why they're always licking them. Like.
So after being splattered with mud and going down the zip line, they pull out their Costco folding chairs in the parking lot of the zip line place and set up a little table. This time they have a tablecloth. And there is a charcuterie board, because what else would you have? And it's like, this is such a Salt Lake City
scene. It really is.
This is almost as bad as the time they set up outside the pile of dirty snow that was, still like a snow mountain, even though it was like warm and it was May. And they just had drinks.
And you can tell that Mary has avoided filming on this cast for 5 years, because she goes, where are they pulling everything out of a trunk? And the producer's like, hey, Mary, how often do you tailgate? She's like, tailgate? What is that?
What does that mean? She goes, is that when you cook food with like ribs and like barbecue and stuff?
So Heather has brought Brittany a gift. It's a tiny ceramic unicorn. Oh my God, can you just stop stirring shit for one scene? Like, you don't need to cue her. She's gonna go on about Jared anyway.
Yeah, she's like, oh my God, I'm gonna name it Jared. It's like, no, Brittany. She goes, it's a unicorn. She goes, yeah, it's for you to remember that you're a strong, magical unicorn, or at least you're a friend of, because if you're a real unicorn, you'd be on the cast full time. Anyway, I know you love unicorn gifts.
Is it an ashtray? No, it's a jewelry thing. Okay, guys, let me tell you why I'm doing this. I just was worried that Brittany wasn't going to have a scene, and she's my friend. So when we got back from Milwaukee, Jared sent her like 4 dozen roses and a giant unicorn stuffed animal. So I got her a unicorn to remind her to talk about Jared, because he's an Osmond, which is going to bring in huge ratings. Huge. Go ahead, Britt. Go ahead. Take it from here. Do it, Brittany. Jared, unicorns. Go, Brittany. How do you feel?
Wait a second. Did you actually break up officially? And she's like, well, yeah, and I really don't want to talk about it, because I'm kind of upset about it, actually.
About what?
You're upset about it? Yeah, I'm upset. I'm upset with you, Lisa.
Why?
Yeah, because you grabbed my phone and you talked to Jared and you texted and FaceTimed him and it caused this huge rift. You know, not his, like, awful personality that caused the rift. It was you who caused the rift.
Wait, what caused a huge rift?
Well, you know, I don't understand why you're so invested in me and my relationship. It's not like I sit here and only talk about it exclusively week in and week out.
Wait, so I'm invested in your relationship? I don't understand why you would be mad at me because Jared's upset with you because we called him out for his bad behavior. I mean, listen, come on.
But you were acting on my behalf.
No, I mean, look, you were, come on, he deserved it. He deserved it. He deserved it.
How do you know?
He was manipulating you. He literally was like writing over and over again, bestie, you're not even his girlfriend. What is he saying, bestie?
I was his girlfriend, a girlfriend that he called his best friend, who he would kiss silently and not on the lips or with his lips and from across the room and not even looking at me. It was our way of kissing, and that's not for you to judge. He just likes to be private about it.
He's not private. You need to run from him. I would run from him.
So then Mary's like, huh. And then Lisa...
Mary is cracking up, by the way. Mary is just laughing like she's at a comedy show. She's like, wah!
Yeah, because Mary hates Brittany. Brittany's like,
Lisa, I just want to be in a good space with him. One, the sort of space where I could say, Brittany Osmond in big lights. You know, some, that kind of space. That way I could at least be friends with him. You know, he's got such a sparkling personality. It would be a shame to lose it for my life.
So Lisa's like, what the fuck, this girl? Like, she doesn't shut up about it. I stick up for her to have, and she has a backbone, and now I'm the bad guy. Which, you know, is always the case with people like this. Always the case. You never say break up with that fool, because the second you do it, they get back together, and then they ice you out because you had the nerve to say break up with the love of their life, you know?
Yes. So Brittany's like, stay out of it. It's none of your business. She goes, fine, I'll stay out of it. And Mary's like, yeah, leave us out of it too. She goes, gladly, gladly, Mary. And Mary's like, yeah, because you're wasting a lot of time about this. I will 100% leave you out of it, Mary.
And she goes, good. Thank you. Thank you so much. And Heather's like, oh, you can leave me out too. The one that brought the unicorn and made this whole thing happen right now. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
And Lisa's leave me like, out three, even though I already declared that I'd be leaving out. But I just want to like come back in and say I still want to be left out.
And Maria's like, ain't nobody got time for this. So funny. She's so good right now. What happened to her? And please keep her like this forever. Please.
Yeah, she's great.
So Brittany's like, done. And you know what? Let's just enjoy this day. Let's just enjoy these meats that came from Albertsons here in this beautiful parking lot. Okay, moving on.
I Heather. Love charcuterie. I'm glad we have charcuterie because I love it. I don't know why, but I just love it. Obsessed with it.
Oh, God. When Jared ordered it the other day. Oh, sorry, guys. Heather, how are your girls? And Heather's like, they're good. Oh, Mary, you saw Georgia. And Mary's like, I did. She's like, she said it was so much fun. And they're like, what? How'd you meet Georgia? And Mary's like, oh. Mary goes, oh, the wind blew her to me. And I blew it back. They're like, oh, that's sweet, Mary. And they're like, but how did you meet her, though? How'd you see her? She goes, I said it. The wind through the wind. It blew us together.
Oh, well, what Mary's trying to say is Georgia's in a professional dance group, and Mary was there at the class. Right, Mary? Is that what it was, Mary? And she's like,
hashtag it was wind. It was wind.
So how did you end up at Georgia's dance class then? I was just there for the sake of it, trying to get a workout, you know?
Trying to get a workout? What style is it? So like hip-hop, classic hip-hop, ballet hip-hop, frosty hip-hop.
It's hip-hop. It's just hip-hop. And Brittany's like, oh my God, so many secrets going on right now.
Yeah, is this like a secret, Mary? Is it secret wind that brought you together? And Brittany's like, yeah, this is like some clandestine dance class. She goes, well, I was with Angie. And Lisa goes, oh, fun. I haven't talked to Angie, not since Milwaukee. By the way, I love how many times this episode, they're like, not since Milwaukee. The fact that like Milwaukee has become this place of intrigue.
Well, I was in Milwaukee.
Not since Milwaukee.
So she's like, oh, you haven't talked to her?
I don't know why I haven't talked to her.
You're upset because you were calling her the B word last I saw.
And she's like, well, back in Milwaukee, she wasn't being a good friend. You know, and I said, you know what I said to her? I said, you're not being a good friend. Yeah.
Mary's like, but why though? She goes, I can talk to Angie about it. And Heather's like, you know what? She's being snarky about Lisa behind her back. So, unlike me, who's just telling everyone else's business about each other behind their backs.
Yeah. I love that Heather's like, Lisa's like, I'll talk to her personally. I don't want to fight about it right now. Heather's like, you will fight about it right now because you're very mad at Mary right now, right? Do it. Fight with Mary. This is going great.
You know what? She called me a bad man, and like, that's like the lowest blow ever. And you want to talk about not coming back from anything? That's where you go when you don't want to come back.
And Brittany's like, yeah, 100%. That hurts the most. The stakes are so high when you're a mom. God, when you're a mom. It's like, Brittany, calm down. What are you? Like, Brittany's over there yelling
at the mom.
Hollering. Shut the fuck up.
So Lisa's like, when Heather told me, I cried. So Mary's like, well, why didn't you contact her and then ask her that, like, ask her if she said it? She goes, well, she can call me and tell me her new issue with me. She goes, but if you cried about something that someone said, you address them.
Oh, well, I don't know why you cried. I think it took you by surprise, right? Is that why? Is that why it took you by surprise, Lisa? It took her by surprise. That's why she cried.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It took me by surprise. I just remembered. It took me by surprise.
And Mary's like, yeah, but you also champion Lisa. And she goes, I do champion Lisa. She goes, but you've known Angie since high school. So she goes, yeah, well, I champion Angie too. But in this situation, I'm on Lisa's side because I'm creating Lisa's side. So I'm coming up with a story for Lisa's side. So I have to be on it long enough for Lisa to be on it. And then once Lisa's fully against Whitney, then I'm going to jump back on Whitney's side and fight Lisa for Whitney to prove what a good friend I am. Do you understand?
Mary tells us, I notice that Heather says things that are very hurtful. She's always in the middle of something, but yet she hides her head, her hands. She'll say stuff, and then she's standing there like she's the innocent one.
Exactly.
You know, which is very true. Yeah. And Heather's like, you know, yes, I've known Angie longer than anyone. It doesn't mean that I don't love and support Angie as a person. It just means that I think it'll be fun to throw her under the bus as my friend. And I just feel like she's kind of taken Lisa for granted. And she's kind of in this mode where she feels like she wants to change the terms of their friendship. Remember, that's what we said. That's our talking point. She wants to change the terms of their friendship. And she hasn't really informed Lisa how that's going to happen. And she's just critical and snarky. I don't understand, by the way, how Angie has changed the terms of the relationship. Angie stood up for Whitney, right? Wasn't that what happened? Angie stood up for Whitney in that first party, and Lisa did not like that, and now they're in a huge fight.
And also because Angie's not as on the... She's friends with more of the girls now, so she's not always constantly 3 hours on the phone listening to Lisa go on and on and on and on. And so Lisa's right. Like, oh, you only spent 1 hour on the phone with me going on, so that's nothing. You're not... Why are you pulling back? And she's like, because I know other people now. Like, leave me alone.
So Mary basically calls out Heather for being two-faced, and Heather's like, I don't think it is. I would see everything I'm saying right now, all the horrible things she's saying right now in front of Angie's face. And she goes, so then Mary's like, my thing is with you, I feel like you leave a trail of lies, like the black eye, and then Mary just starts going in.
Here's how I feel. You know, with you, you just leave such a trail of lies. She's like, what? It's like, yeah.
Like the black eye. And then the fact that you champion body positivity, and now that's a lie too. I was like, what?
That was a real, like, she really went there. I was like, whoa, I did not see her going that deep. With the black eye, I was like, whoa, she went to the black eye. And then she went even further with, like, and then your body positivity is a lie too. I was like, damn. Oh my God.
Wait, she didn't say she's... Wait, why are we saying she's a liar? Because she said body positivity is a lie. She didn't say I was lying about it. And Heather's like, and it wasn't even about me. I was saying the fact that people really champion people with different bodies, but the truth is they champion people with beautiful bodies. And the truth is they just really all want you to be skinny.
And Heather is saying, you know, everybody's criticizing how I lose weight, but they criticize me if I don't lose weight. And they're all talking about what I look like, and I don't need it from Mary, too. You know, I'm just trying to have it not be about my body for once. And Mary's like, well, I'm not trying to hurt you. And she's like, I know you're not. I just feel like we need to figure this out. And right now we're at an impasse because I'm trying to teach Lisa why she's mad. So I'll go come up with a reason that I'm really mad at you later. She's like, okay.
Brittany's like, you know what else is a lie? Osmond positivity. It just doesn't work out.
What about body osmontivity? Is that something we can get going? Oh, ma'am.
Is Haley Joel Osment and Osmond?
So that's interesting, this body positivity thing right at the very end.
Yeah.
And it's also a bold thing to say. Like, body positivity is a lie, and people only champion thin bodies, and I'm thin, so suck it. This is basically her thing. It's an interesting path to go down. But interesting. I mean, I can't wait to see where that one goes.
Absolutely.
That's going to be an interesting conversation, that's for sure.
Yeah. Really good episode. Really good mix of silly and serious. And I really am enjoying Bronwyn quite a bit. Just adding that in there, because why not? But anyway, the point is this. It's time for me to get a bagel. We made it to the end of the episode. It's Bagel Thursday. I need to be unleashed on this world. So thank you, everyone, for being here today. It was so fun. Tomorrow, we've got Orange County, which I'm sure will be a great disaster. So we, I don't know. Have a great day.
Bye. Have a good one, everybody. See you later.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
We're fanning out for Bethany Fannin.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Bringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
Let's Give a Kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Let's Get Feely with Maggie Sheely.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.